This episode of The Stacker was first broadcast on the 26th of July 2014 on Monocle 24.
Mediterranean beaches or stunning mountain views, island villages or exotic retreats, jaw-dropping gelatos and devilishly good-looking divers. Travel is a publishing genre that always manages to jump off the shelf. Today, we take a leisurely stroll down to the pool via the kiosk for this special holiday-themed edition of The Stack. As much of Europe winds down to enjoy the high summer, we unload the car and unpack our suitcases for a bit of magazine escapism. We'll be taking a first look at Monocle's very own tribute to the summer as it hits shelves this week. That would be Monocle Mediterraneo, dear listeners. And we'll be joined by a magazine aficionado who'll be telling us what she likes to flick through on balmy summer days. Plus, we'll be going to Paris, where one American ode to the vacation is making a comeback.
When you do something excellent, there is always a market. That's what we try to do. I don't believe that the magazines are dead, not at all. The bad magazines maybe are dead, but the good ones will live again.
All that and much more besides today on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to Studio 2 here at Midori House for this 100th edition of The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé. Hopefully, many of our listeners have already dodged the holiday traffic jams and airport crowds and have managed to settle into their holidays. Whether you're listening to this on your jetty on Lake Garda or on deck off the coast of Mallorca, or still contemplating where to go, we have it covered on The Stack today as we take a leisurely look at the world of travel in print. In a moment, we'll be heading over to Paris for a report on the revival of Holiday Magazine. But before that, let's meet our special guest around the table today. And today we're joined by one of London's foremost magazine experts, Francine Lawrence. She's art directed and edited several consumer magazines, including the award-winning Country Living, of which she was editor for a good decade. Francine is also visiting lecturer in visual journalism at London's City University. And you're looking rather tanned today as well. So as very appropriate for this holiday-themed program, where have you been?
I just drove down to the heel of Italy from London in my classic Mercedes. Sorry, I'm showing off.
Very nice. And I sort of came back from Italy via Japan earlier in the week. Tell me a little bit about the, I guess you're in Puglia region. So the experience, the importance of the kiosk. Because I have to say, when I was around Lake Garda. We were in Sud Tirol, and of course, a lot of our listeners would know we've been spending a little bit of time because we have a rather large Sud Tirol Alto Adige theme supplement in the current issue. But I think one of the best things about holidaying Italy is going down to an amazing newsstand and just sort of stocking up your tote bag or basket or bicycle and heading to the beach or wherever you want to be.
That's the terrible thing. When you take your own car, you see, you don't have the excuse of saying, I can't possibly buy that because I can't carry it on the plane. Of course, you buy so much stuff.
So the back of the Mercedes was rather low?
It was rather low, yes. And definitely paper products were a key element to that.
we have lots to look at today, Francine. I'm just wondering, but was there anything that you saw in Italy, any observations about the Italian newsstand, anything that you saw that maybe is not on the table today, which stood out?
I've got to say that usually when I go to Italy, I'm desperate to buy everything. But I think things have become a little bit globalised now. And so I didn't rush to buy, you know, because I can buy Italian Vogue in London. A lot of the magazines I can buy in London. So I've got to confess, I didn't buy quite as many Italian magazines as I normally do. I think also what I noticed was that there was this lovely cafe society. Perhaps it was because I was down in a holiday area, but you don't see that in London anymore. People sitting in a cafe in the morning reading a newspaper, and you still see that in Italy. And that was very heartwarming. So newspapers seem to be still being read.
Yeah, and you certainly want to pitch right in as well. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to a variety of regular guests and some new ones as well about, of course, you know, what they like to take away, etc. So you had Italian Vogue, but what else accompanied you from London, or what else did you pick up along the way? I mean, for you, when you're and we'll talk about sort of, you know, travel titles in a moment, what else is essential for you?
I think in the summer, when I'm going away, is I I really want to indulge myself. Mm. I don't want to feel that I'm keeping up with news and current affairs. I just want to really indulge myself. So one of the things that I love is reading. And I've got to confess to a secret addiction. There's a publishing company in London called Persephone Books. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a lovely small company run by women publishing or republishing novels from the early part of the 20th century, usually written by women. It's a very unique list. It's only 107 titles. And they produce a magazine twice a year, which is a funny little thing. It doesn't look great. It's only 28 pages, but it has short stories in there, and it delivers far more than its little 28 pages would give you to believe on the cover. There are short stories by Catherine Mansfield. There are beautiful designs by Edward Borden and Vanessa Bell. They use them in the end papers of the books that they publish. And this sustains me. I get fiction, I get news about more books. It's a lovely little thing. And as soon as you subscribe to a Persephone title, you get this magazine. And you also become part of a very unique club. The shop itself is in Lamb's Conduit Street, mm-hmm. which is a very cool street
yes.
in London. They have a reading group once a month where you can go and have tea and cake in their lovely shop, which is also the publishing office, which is a step back in time. And they have an evening where you can go and have Madeira and cake. It's everything about it is just British, old-fashioned, stylish. And lovely, indulgent.
And what's wonderful about this little journal, and it's called the Persephone Biannually, is it serves as a catalogue, but it's very clever because it is, you know, there's nothing particularly flash about the design, incredibly understated. But what it's doing in a very smart way is it's driving you to their catalogue at every turn, which is absolutely very, very clever.
It is. At first glance, it does look like a catalogue, but it has... Cleverly, it has a lot more in it. So I highly recommend it as a bit of holiday, summer, indulgent reading.
Also, I don't know if you saw this, but our Mediterraneo, Monocle Mediterraneo, is just coming out. We didn't have it in time for your trip to Puglia. But so our new edition, and of course, this is now the ninth issue in our series of seasonal papers, will be hopefully arriving on newsstands in Forte de Marmi and in Palma and elsewhere. So that is something which is always a fun exercise for us, because as you know certainly being at City, it's just great to break out of your format sometimes. And so when you do the magazine 10 times a year, everyone gets very excited about putting out this tabloid sort of come broadsheet. So that's it's a little exercise. I don't know if you had a chance to flick through it yet.
I did. And I think you're spoiling us, because you're giving us more of the Monocle standard of journalism and news and information and business. It's in colour. The format. Is that Berliner?
It's probably a Berliner when you would fold it. And that's what I said, because on one side, when it's fully open, it has, and maybe from a design point of view, I think it feels more like a broadsheet. Yet, purely in format, of course, it is a tabloid in that respect.
But you know, you're very clever, because what you've done is you've produced magazine content in a newspaper format. Mm. And so when you read it, you see, this is something I would read in the morning when I'm having my coffee in the cafe on the Promenade Anglaise. And I don't feel guilty that I'm reading a magazine, you see. Mm. I'm reading a newspaper.
Exactly.
Very clever, Tyler. Very
well,
good.
Anyway, so more to come. And it's hitting newsstands now. Just at the top of the show, we were talking about travel and just the sector. And I don't want to take you back to the classroom right now, but travel defines, I think, so much of certainly the magazine landscape. And I'm wondering, is it something that also crops up a lot with students when they're bringing you projects right now? I mean, would you say it's sort of a vein that there's 20% of what you see is someone saying, yes, I want to do a title about seeing the world or navigating around the world?
It tends to be with students, of course, because they tend to be on a slightly more limited budget. Mm. So it's travel, but applied travel. So it might be travel, eco-travel, or it might be travel on a budget. And they do come up with some great ideas for magazines, actually.
When you look at this generation of student, where so much of travel today, and I'm just holding up a mobile device, is about navigating off of Google Maps, and it's going to someone's blog, and it's about scrolling down, it's getting then a link to find your way to that cafe, that bar, that particular beach. There is something which is not very evocative, not very sexy. It's great as an information tool. And I'm wondering, do you think anything is lost right now when it comes to then doing the big visuals because, you know, you're teaching magazines, because so much of our photographic world is, yeah, within a frame of what, you know, 4 centimeters by 5 centimeters, 5 by 5, you know, whatever the screen of your particular mobile device is.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think there is a danger that we do see the world, you know, through the phone camera lens. Mm. You know, it's like watching people at a concert, not looking at the stage, but looking at it through the back of their phone camera. And I do think there is something lost. And I do encourage students to try and find something new, or they've got to find a new angle on it. And that's often something that they need to have a, you know, a bit of a prod to, you know, find something new. I don't want the same old story.
Well, in the spirit of new, or at least certainly reviving something and repackaging it as new, we're going to be heading to Paris in a moment. First, though, a very short break. Here on Monocle 24, you're listening to The Stack. We're back in a moment.
If you're after a soundtrack to your working day, look no further than Monocle 24's Globally Minded playlist. We play the very best upbeat music from around the world, around the clock. Whether that's jazz from Japan, pop from Paris, house from Hamburg, or soul from Seoul. It's all picked by our team and presented by our editors. So get lost in music with Monocle 24's playlist right here, day and night, on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome back to The Stack here on Monocle 24 with me, Tyler Brulé. Now, in decades past, foreign travel seemed far more glamorous than it does today. In an era when people put so much more thought into how and where to venture, they would consult numerous books and magazines beforehand. One of them was the American magazine entitled Holiday, which had its heyday in the 1940s and 50s, but went out of business some decades ago. Now, a French duo has decided to bring the publication back to life, and since April, it's been back on newsstands around the world, maintaining some of the typefaces and layouts of decades past and staying true to the original concept of employing top writers and photographers. Holiday claims to show the world in a way that no other magazine does. As everyone in France gears up for their summer holidays, Monocle's Paris correspondent, Tom Burgess-Watson, went to meet the magazine's editor-in-chief, Marc Boget, in the basking sun at a café in the heart of the French capital.
We are between vintage and modern. We didn't choose to totally forget about the past or to copy it. We just did something in between because we both like... Me and Franck, the artistic director, Franck Durand, we both like vintage images. So we use old images already used by Holiday magazine in the 50s. And we also produce new images. We think the mix make it interesting and new in a way.
Do you think there's much of a market for a Holiday magazine? There's quite a lot of them on the shelves as it is. And, you know, so many of these sorts of magazines, even ones that are dealing in the high-end holiday market, they have applications, you know, you can read them on your tablet and so on. Is there a market in your opinion?
Well, we didn't think about it when launching magazine. I and Frank don't think about will there be a market for what we'll be doing. We think, will we enjoy doing it? That's what we thought when we started thinking about Holiday. But I think when you do something excellent, there is always a market. That's what we try to do. I don't believe that the magazines are dead, not at all. The bad magazines maybe are dead, but the good ones will live again. People will still enjoy have something in their hand, have a beautiful paper, something they can keep, something they can put on their table. I believe that you have to be better than what you can get for free on the internet, that's for sure.
Okay, so issue one came out in April. Tell us a little bit about what the theme of the first issue was. What were you trying to cover?
So the first issue was dedicated to 69, the year 69, because there is something hedonist about Holiday magazine. When they requested writers like Joanne Didion or Hemingway to write articles in the 60s, they didn't get them by the money. Well, they gave them good money, but they also tell them, go to this place, we pay for you and enjoy yourself, take pleasure. We wanted to keep that spirit, and we think the year 69 sums up that hedonist feeling.
So what places did you visit for that first edition in order to capture the essence of the year 1969?
We went to many places, but we spent a lot of time in Ibiza in the winter. We had a writer called Arthur Dreyfus, which is one of the main young writers in France going to this place for a week. He basically lost himself in Ibiza, and he tells us about what is this place in the winter when there is no party, when there is no tourist. And if I think he gave an idea of what the 69 spirit is and why it was so big in Ibiza, why this island has become such a synonym of partying.
And you bought the rights to this magazine because it had been dormant for all these years. Tell us a little bit about the history of Holiday Magazine and how and why this idea came to you to buy the rights and how it works.
Holiday was one of the most prestigious magazines in the 50s. It launched at a time when America was going very well in terms of economy. It was after the war. The economics were going up and traveling was getting more and more democratic. People would travel. So to match that new trend, Holiday was created. After a few years of average sales, they hired a new chief editor. And that guy decided that he would only have writers, you know, prestigious, well-known writers going to places and telling of the places. He put the bar very high in terms of writing. The artistic director also was very demanding to photographers. They had pictures by Robert Capa, for instance. We are very happy that the chief editor of the original Holiday magazine liked our first issue. He's quite old nowadays. But he saw the magazine, we sent it to him, and he, through his daughter, he told us that he was very proud to see Holiday living again, that he thought we did a great job. It was quite good for us.
Caramel, bonbon et chocolat.
Si tu n'existais pas déjà, je t'inventerais.
And that was Monocle's Paris correspondent Tom Burgess-Watson speaking to the editor-in-chief of the revived Holiday magazine, Marc Boget. Francine, what do you make of it? I mean, it's very true to the original title, certainly in format. I mean, trim size, we don't see magazines of this scale. It reminds you of the old Interview. It's on great paper. It's got a toothy texture, the cover, certainly. I'm wondering your impression, certainly from a visual point of view, of the whole package.
Visually, totally gorgeous. I mean, it's huge. It's like when I used to buy Nova magazine originally, it was such a lovely, you know, huge size. I love the format. That's great. As you say, the paper's gorgeous. For me, the best part of it was seeing the original photographs from the original magazine. There's a reproduction of a Robert Capa spread and some early photographs in that gorgeous kind of 50s, 60s kind of Technicolor. I have to say that although the photography is totally gorgeous, it's utterly indulgent. I mean, beautiful black and white photography, hardly any text at the back. Not quite. I mean, it has definitely has a Holiday feel about it, but I'm not quite sure what it's saying. I would love to see them develop this more. Mm. And as he said, he wanted to use novelists as writers. I'd love to see a better balance between gorgeous photography and great writing.
Mm. I agree. I thought that it was going to take much of that spirit, but there was going to be more reportage. And I can certainly see that they played into this spirit of hedonism, but I'm not sure. Actually, in fact, I am sure. I didn't really want to go to Nolita and see Inez and Vinod, famous photography duo's house in that part of New York. That's not the type of Holiday I wanted to go on. And as you said, it seems that the bits you dip into, and actually they go down memory lane and look at original copies of, that's where it hits stride. And then I guess there's the other side too. They're trying to play the fashion game. They probably want to please advertisers. So there's a lot of it which I think needs to choose its battle, whether it wants to be a fashion title or it really wants to stand by what it says on the cover and be a Holiday magazine.
I think I would say, yeah, a little more text, a little less of the indulgent fashion and nude photography. Beautiful nude photography, but hey.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, I think it's not maybe juicy and sumptuous enough. And I thought if you're going to go down that route, then maybe you really want to feel like it's the heat and the glimmering waters of Ibiza or something.
It's not a studio.
Not a studio.
No, absolutely not. So, sorry. Yeah, but, nearly there.
Yeah,
nearly
no,
there.
I think
good,
so.
Good try.
And I would like
feels
to think
nice.
That, yeah, that, next holiday, so I guess come Christmas time, but I mean, certainly next summer, it is something that you would love to throw into your bag. And as you said, if there was a lot to read, it would come down to the beach. with you sort of three or four times because the pages are huge. And again, it is almost like reading a broadsheet. I mean, we just don't see magazines of that scale anymore. And you would like to see almost a little bit waterlogged and to become a little bit sun-drenched. Even though it's so gorgeous, you don't want to, maybe you don't want it to get too scrappy.
I couldn't take that to the beach.
You couldn't.
Tyler. It's too beautiful.
No, it is beautiful. But
I couldn't take that to the beach. What, get suntan cream and my pina colada all over it? Yeah. No, this one has to be at home. This is one that you read and dream about going on holiday.
You do is you make the publisher really happy and you have two. The one that stays at home and then the one that maybe gets trashed and you sort of leave it at the hotel for the next.
I'm afraid, yes. Yeah. But at €13, probably not.
Now, I've got lots of titles here, but what else have you brought in? I know that you've disclosed on this program before, you like a men's magazine, you like looking at men's titles. And again, is that a bit of work or no? You just find there's more things to read in there, or is it a social study? What is it?
I don't know if it's because I've worked on so many women's titles that I know what's coming, but if I'm getting on a plane or going somewhere, I actually find it so frustrating that women's titles that are supposedly aimed at me haven't moved on from the Shape Up for Summer or, you know, 229,000 ways to do your nails or put your mascara on. And I'm really disappointed in some of the main women's titles for that. And I love a fashion and a beauty magazine. But to go on holiday, I want a good read. And this month I picked up GQ, which is a magazine that I often pick up when I'm at the airport. Now, I'm going to talk about some features that I opened it and read. It's got a great piece by Tony Parsons on cancer, of all things. But, you know, it's really thoughtful. There's a really good piece about Prince Charles. I'm not a royalist, but this is a really insightful piece about, you know, we're about to get an old codger as a king. And what will it mean, you know, for us? It has a bit of eye candy for men on front. Jessica Alba, which, okay.
Jessica Alba with surfboard, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know, what else do you want for July, August? Yeah.
Okay, so you need a bit of that. But the other features in there really carry it, and they're a good read. And you sort of feel less guilty. I've got a terrible work ethic that I don't know what it is, but I have to learn something from what I read. And there are some really good reading. It's beautifully designed. You know, it's lively without being too busy. The typography is great. It has some lovely layouts, gorgeous typography, big drop caps in Bodoni, which I love.
Now, for you, does that signal an opportunity then in women's publishing that if a title came out and said, of course, they're still doing all of the lifestyle bits and pieces and they're still doing all the fashion, but a women's title came out and said, we are going to stand behind having 5 outstanding pieces of journalism in every issue, month in and month out. Do you think there's an opportunity? Because I'm sure that maybe the likes of Harper's Bazaar and Vogue would say, oh, well, we do that already. But sounds like you're arguing otherwise.
I don't think they do enough. I really don't think they do enough. Marie Claire does it very well. They usually have their international kind of women's piece each month. And that saves Marie Claire for me from just being a light fashion magazine. Glamour doesn't do it enough. All the international editions of Glamour could do with some more meaty pieces. And I think the trouble is that the fashion tends to lead the magazine, perhaps because of the advertising. And we just want a bit more meat on it. And that's why I go for men's magazines generally.
One in my stack on the side was the Travel Almanac. And again, this is something which I pick up. I really enjoy it. I collect it. I like that it's bookish nature. It has a similar cover treatment in terms of paper that Holiday does, this wonderful textured paper. What did you make of Travel Almanac with Gia Coppola on the cover?
Well, my first impression was, oh gosh, here's another independent magazine on, you know, lovely, as you say, toothy paper. But you know what? I loved it. I like the size is small, but you know, that's perfect for when you're traveling. I love the differentiation between the sections. It had a bit on hotels. It had a lovely little travel journal-y bit at the end where there are illustrations of churches in Rome. And then it's called Psychological Sightseeing. And there are gorgeous, well-written little notes. I thought it was a really fabulous little magazine.
I like also the singularity of in the back where other magazines would have. It is definitely the territory of travel magazines where you have these cutout pages of course, 15 different types of sandal, etc. But I just like how they, that singular sense of they just chose Ulaanbaatar incense from Aste Devilat. So that was like one product that they liked. And then they had a classic pair of Huarache sandals. And then they just, you know, they have a Smythson diary. And that's the wrap up. These are sort of three essential things, as opposed to giving you sort of, you know, 50 cutouts that have been all called in from sort of, you know, various press agencies, etc.
Exactly. Less is more. And in this case, they've absolutely got it right, I think. Beautiful photography, just the essentials you need. And these images of products usually would be in full colour, and these are in black and white. Somehow they've printed it really well, and it looks great. Really good.
We're just going to wrap up. You have one title there, heavily marked up with post-it notes. and it couldn't be more opposite from the travel almanac in terms of scale, size, and everything else. But you like this title. Why?
It's a pretty commercial title. It's called The Simple Things. And I think you would probably say it's a cross between, say, Martha Stewart meets Country Living. It does what it says on the front. It's all about, I guess it's a lifestyle magazine. It's about growing things. It's practical whimsy. It has herbal flowers and teas that you can grow in your garden. It has how to make compost. It has a little bit of art. It has some travel. There's a story about Sao Paulo, something about the Tour de France. There's cookery. It sounds like it's a general magazine, but it definitely has a core of simplicity. And I think it works extremely well. I think Martha Stewart would like this.
And I think you could probably say as well that, like, it seems to know exactly who its reader is.
I think it's got a really strong identity. The editor knows who her reader is, absolutely.
Well, there's lots of other titles we didn't get through today. Travel and Leisure, very much with a cleaned up cover, clearly a response to the cleanup that's happened at Condé Nast Traveler. Condé Nast Traveler, British edition, summer special issue. We're all supposed to be going to Menorca, according to that. Also have a copy of Endless Magazine, if you're looking for something else. The Trip Family Travels, actually a wonderful cover. And again, something of real scale, but again, might sort of veer into the territory of a magazine that you might leave at home. Suitcase, also out of the UK. Interesting, but again, not quite sure if it wants to be a travel magazine or a fashion magazine. But I'm voting for, one's going to go to my case, I'm taking the Travel Almanac.
I think
sure.
If it's a jukebox jury, Travel Almanac gets it for me as well.
Excellent.
Great little title.
Well, very good to see you. Any more Italy's happen? Is that it? Summer holidays over, or as we move to August?
I think that's it. It's back in my garden and dreaming.
Okay. Well, very good. Francine Lawrence, have a great summer. Very good to see you. Today's program was produced by David Pleasant. Our studio manager was Claire Urban. If you have any comments or queries, then do drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back next Saturday at the very same time. Of course, you can always listen again at monocle.com or via iTunes. But for now, for me, Tyler Brulé, have a very good weekend. Goodbye.